There they are, the Tom Tom Club, with the wordy rapping hood to usher in another edition of the said mentioned program, the wordy rapping hood, here on Audible PFM. And Tracy Hutchison here with you on this Friday. Always great to have your company and get on board another person who's with another person who's doing great things on the peninsula. The very premise of this program is all about showcasing people making great positive contributions to our life here on the peninsula. And I'm really thrilled to welcome in this week's guest, who is you might have seen driving around some signs around the hinterland in particular, around this neck of the woods, talking about the Scarecrow Festival, the Hinterland Scarecrow Festival, which is coming up from September 16 to October the 3rd. And the festival director, the producer, the person who answers all the questions and will be plotting out where those scarecrows are going to land over those couple of weeks is Kerry Watson, and she joins us on Audible PFM on this Friday. Hello and welcome. Great to meet you.
Thank you, Tracy. It's lovely to be here.
First up, just tell us a little bit about this fabulously named and inspired kind of concept of the Scarecrow Festival, because it really is just a celebration of people making mad creations and plonking them in the middle of paddocks.
That's exactly right, and they're not necessarily traditional scarecrows as we know it, so a lot of them have become art installations. So it's about creativity of all sorts of different types. But the Scarecrow Festival's been running now for about 10 years, so this is the 10th year. We've turned it into a biennial festival because it's really in recognition of the work that it takes to run a festival like this. And there's the festival trail. So this year we have almost 40 scarecrows or arts installations, and they're based around the theme of Aussie icons or traditional scarecrows. And we also have a new category of permanent artist sculpture scarecrows joining us this year. And of course they're dotted around the Peninsula Hills, or the hinterland of the peninsula, which encompasses Red Hill, Main Ridge, Arthur's Seat, Merricks, a bit of Balnarring, so around that area. So it's on during the school holidays. It's a free event for everybody to jump in the car, a bit like an old touring
car rally
trail. Yeah, just like that.
Yeah.
And people, you know, visit the scarecrows. Mm. This year we have a website that's mobile friendly, so people don't need to pick up a map, although they can, to see where the scarecrows are. They can check it out online on the Scarecrow Festival website, on Google Maps, and see what they're about, and read a little bit about the scarecrows. And these scarecrows are made by the community, by artists, by schools, by all sorts of community groups, so it's wonderful.
And you've got all kinds of crazy designs that you're going to unveil as well between what come October 16. Just
September 16.
September 16. Give us just a little bit of a sneak preview, and then we'll delve into the life of times of Kerry Watson and how you found yourself here on the peninsula overseeing the Scarecrow Festival. But you've got some pretty tantalising scarecrows lined up this year.
Oh, yeah. I love a bit of humour. So the Australian icon theme is so broad, which gives people lots of scope. We've got the Shane Warne scarecrow. We've got the Kylie Minogue scarecrow that I've heard about today. Mm. So Dame Edna Everage. So a lot of those sort of icons. But we've also got a few artists, Arthur Boyd, coming into it. I'm personally making a man from Snow River.
Brilliant.
We've got the footballers.
Yeah.
We've got a wedge-tail eagle, which flies over the peninsula. So people have been really creative with such a broad types of scarecrows. And of course then there's the traditional.
Yeah. Yeah. The good old-fashioned scarecrow.
Yeah.
Fabulous. Kerry Watson is our guest on the Wordy Rapping Hood on this Friday on Audible PFM. She's the festival director of the Hinterland Scarecrow Festival, which happens on the Peninsula Hinterland from September 16 to October the 3rd. We'll find out a little bit more about what happens on Festival Day later on in the program. We're also going to have some live music right at the end of the program as well that's happening in the Peninsula Hinterland this evening. But first, Kerry Watson, this is all about you today and how you came to be in charge of the Scarecrow Festival. What brought you to the Peninsula?
Well, that's a bit of a story in itself, but my partner at the time, who's now my husband, and I had got together with teenage children, and we wanted to merge families, but that was difficult because we had a priority to keep them in school. So we looked for a weekender, and we searched all around the north and northwest of Melbourne. And he said, "Where would you really like to live?" And I said, "Red Hill." And we came down here with a view to look for a weekender, but of course we couldn't afford one. And in the end we found a chicken farm that of course generated a fabulous income. And it was during the GFC. So my husband, who had been a property and builder, property developer and builder at the time, decided to switch to become a chicken farmer.
Incredible.
And that's how we could afford to purchase in the area. So he ran the business. And that's how I ended up in Red Hill.
Farming chickens.
Yes.
How'd you go with that? Because you, we'll talk more about your own life, but your life had been very different to being a chicken farmer. Let's go back a little bit and your growing up years and your corporate life and your life in travel as well. So you grew up in South Australia.
I did. I'm a girl from the Blue Lake town of Mount Gambier, but I only spent
almost
my early
on the border. Almost
the
Victoria.
Border. And then my family moved to the west of Melbourne to Keilor, which was semi-rural at the time, and basically that's where I grew up, with open paddocks and rolling hills and rivers and horses and trail bikes. That was life. Mm. My first job was in the travel industry as a travel consultant for World Travel Headquarters in Collins Street for many years. And then I moved to London to the obligatory go to Europe and do a stint there for about 18 months. Mm. I did a lot of work for Contiki there. And I worked in ski resorts and washed dishes and poured beers and all those things to get by. When I returned to Australia, I joined Qantas and spent 10 years there as their corporate travel manager, retail manager, industry sales rep. So I did lots of things for them.
Working at Franklin Street in the city in Melbourne?
No, it was in William Street actually. Right. William Street, Collins Street, and then I managed offices for them in Geelong and Dandenong and Paran. So I opened a lot of retail centres for them.
And lots of travelling through that time,
yeah,
I imagine.
It was the glorious 80s. So we did well. We had a wonderful lifestyle. Mm. It was the days where you could buy a ticket to anywhere in the world for a $30 service fee as an airline staff.
That's right.
So, yes, I travelled and took advantage of it. Yeah,
favorite,
so that was great.
Favourite travel destination or favourite kind of memory of that time?
Look, there's so many places that I love to visit, and I think, you know, holidaying versus sightseeing, you know, have different places, different cities. I always loved Hong Kong. I love Paris. Mm. Austria is a favourite, yeah, because I'm a bit of a ski bunny, or I was back then. Mm. So, yeah, lots of great places around the world that I enjoy seeing, the cultures, the music, the food, everything to do with travel. It's my passion.
And then for some unknown reason, after sort of having a very heady first career in the travel industry, you decide to become a television journalist with the ABC. What prompted that?
The prompt was, well, the irony is Qantas were offering golden handshakes. And I thought, wow, if anybody's going to pay me that sort of money to leave a job, I'm going. But also it was at the time where you could not work part-time, you if you wanted to have a family. So you could not combine careers. And that's essentially why I decided to become a journalist and hop into media, because it would give me the ability to work from home and have flexibility. Mm. So I had a baby, went to uni, got a postgraduate in journalism, and I was employed by ABC Television. So I did a lot of research, came in as a researcher, became a television producer, and spent quite a few years there before I left. I went back into the travel industry for a while, lived and worked in Fiji with my young son, and then I moved back to Melbourne.
What are you, so are we talking being in Fiji during the, were you in the 90s or the 2000s?
It was just before the millennium, so in 97, 98.
What kind of place was, because Fiji's had a very interesting history politically, what sort of era are we talking about in Fiji at the time?
Well, at the time, things were quite stable, but not long after I left, there was one of their coups, which they often had. Mm. But I lived in the Yasawa Islands in a place called Turtle Island. It's a five-star resort. So we were remote and removed from everything. The only way into the island was via seaplane or helicopter. So look, I was quite removed from everything that was going on in Fiji. I lived in this tropical paradise with my two-year-old child at the time.
Mm. Yeah. And then at some point decided to come back.
Yes. I did a lot of contract work when my son was young, and that was one of the contracts that I ran. Mm. I went back to ABC Television and then moved to the Metropolitan Fire Brigade. And Tourism Victoria. I ran a couple of jobs part-time and ended up staying with the fire brigade for 4 years. And I presented and produced a television show for them called Fire Vision, which went out live to all the firefighters around the Melbourne metropolitan area. And then from there I moved on to become the public affairs manager of the Royal Women's Hospital for about 4 years after that.
A very full life just in that very first chapter. Kerry Watson is with us. She is the festival director of the Hinterland Scarecrow Festival, which is about to be unveiled in the hinterland on the peninsula from September 16 to October 3. We're going to find out a little bit more about some of the other work that Kerry's been doing locally after we hear from what is your first musical selection, Israel the Unpronounceable. I don't know whether you want to have a go at it, but he's very well-known ukulele-based Islandish kind of singing person.
He's a Hawaiian, yes.
Thank you. And you've chosen his version of Somewhere Over the Rainbow, which is very much a favourite. It's a favourite of lots of people. When Kerry sent me a list and said, oh, I've got a very eclectic music taste, and I managed to have all three selections. Why this track, Kerry?
I walked down the aisle to my second husband
Israel.
To this track.
I love the simplicity of it. And Somewhere Over the Rainbow, his beautiful version of that song. The music selection from our guest on the Wordy Rapping Hood on this Friday, Kerry Watson, is the festival director of the Hinterland Scarecrow Festival, which happens for a couple of weeks, in a couple of weeks, starting September 16, running through to October 3, and in the hinterland area of the peninsula. Kerry has been taking us through her life and times, growing up in South Australia, a kind of first career in travel, a little bit of a dalliance with TV researching and reporting, back to travel, and that song selected because it was played at your wedding in Red Hill to your second husband, and it was the music that you arrived to on your farm, which is the chicken farm. I'm going to sort of delve into your life, that transition life coming from the city. You still hold on to a little bit of city life, I know, working for the state government, but based here on the peninsula now at what was the chicken farm in Red Hill. How did a woman who'd had a very corporate career in travel, working as a journalist, doing all the things that you were doing, how'd you go as a chicken farmer?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. I mean, apart from laughing the first time round when you had to tell people, I think it's my husband. I mean, it was my husband's business in the end. Mm. And although I might have helped him at the very beginning and I needed to know how to manage the farm and I could manage it, it became his world. And it's an interesting life because you spend probably an hour and a half, 2 hours in the morning with the chickens and then you put them to bed at the end of the day and you get the rest of the day to yourself if things are going well. He's a very hands-on man, so he was able to attend to any mechanical things that might have gone wrong or ordering feed or whatever it is. But essentially it's a fabulous business where you get the chicks in at a day old and you grow them for 6 to 7 weeks and they pick them up and take them away and they provide the food for it. So all you've got to do is grow them, so the water and the warm shedding or the fresh air or whatever it is. And that's it. That's the business. So it's a fabulous business in the sense that, you know, every 6 weeks there's a check in the bank. And for an 11-acre farm, which is what we have, it's a fabulous way to generate money. And there's a lot of farms on the peninsula. I think it was one of the second largest industries on the peninsula. But, of course, they are starting to disappear as they move into larger commercial scale chicken farming, where we were very much what they term a hobby farm, which is 35,000 chickens.
Mm. Wow, that's some hobby. Kerry Watson is with us. She's the woman who is the driving force keeping the scarecrow for the Hinterland Scarecrow Festival rolling along, and it will roll along in a couple of weeks' time. Kerry, apart from the Scarecrow Festival, you've also been very involved in community life here on the peninsula. You're on the Red Hill Community Association and also part of Duns Creek Land Care. Tell us about each of those roles that you have. I imagine they're also hobby roles.
They are, and I think community work, I mean, community means a lot to me. It's like a pseudo family, and I think when you move into an area, it's a great way to assimilate. But it's also the energy that you put into a community, I think, has direct payback to you and to everybody around you. So that's why I think it's important. The Red Hill Community Association is a small group that works for the community of Red Hill and Red Hill South. We're like a community voice, so we look at everything from community building to advocacy, looking at things to preserve the character and the rural nature of the village area as it is. So the most recent successes of that, if we've just opened on Australia Day this year, the community park in Red Hill, which is on the corner of Point Leo Road and Shoreham Road. And a new war memorial was launched in April, which is the first for the district.
Where's that?
In the Red Hill Community Park on Shoreham Road. Mm. And it's beautiful because it's modern with Corten steel, so it's not your traditional war memorial. And I just think it's a lovely thing to build the community around. Mm. So I love the work of it.
The Red Hill area is, I mean, like all areas, I guess, on the peninsula at the moment, there's that constant balance between recognising a very significant shift in demographic, in people coming, wanting particular qualities of life, wanting particular types of attractions, how you juggle, how we juggle that role of tourism and I guess agribusiness, which is very much part of the peninsula story at the moment now, with the sorts of things that you're talking about wanting to preserve as well, that balance, getting that balance right. And I know that there was a huge response to the refurbing of the chairlift, for example, on the top of Arthur's Seat. And that's very confronting, I think, for a lot of us, whilst that project is being now built and we're seeing the impact of it. What do you think is the happy balance between providing an economic, a sustainable economy for people who want to be able to work and live here with the things that we're trying to sustain and which the very things that people want to come and see?
Yeah. Look, I think the balance is really important, and I think it's really important that we protect it. We don't realise, but our backyard is Green Wedge. And unless you protect the Green Wedge, what is so beautiful about the peninsula will no longer be. And I don't think we need to, you know, it's really important that we don't forget that. And at the same time, I'm on Hinterland Tourism Association, and I understand that there is economic benefits in bringing tourism and other business to the region. But I think there is a balance. You can do it well. People want to be able to live and work in the same area. So it's finding that balance. And I think council have a really important role in planning and protecting that sort of thing.
Because you ran for council. I know you're not, I'll preface this by saying you're not running this time in the October elections for local council, but you did run last time for the Red Hill ward. What did you campaign on? What was your what were your key messages on your flyer, Kerry Watson, about why people should have voted for you in the Red Hill ward?
Well, I had 10 key messages at the time. My interest was, look, I'd never run for local council before. I was concerned that no one was putting their hand up, and I was concerned about the future. And I'm one for, if you got something to say, you need to be part of the solution. And that's why I put my hand up, and it was rather naive in some respects. But I still believe in it, and I think it's important. It was about preserving lifestyle. It's about finding that balance of let's keep what we have that's so beautiful, but at the same time, you know, we have to amend the planning laws to a degree to allow some development, because that's what creates jobs here. But above and beyond, we have to preserve what's important here. Mm. So they were the main things. You know, it's about good quality roads. It's about having facilities for people. I mean, it's everyday things. We live here. You know, we want to make sure the rubbish is collected. We want to have good libraries. We want to have good roads. Schools need to be catered for. So it's all of those sort of fundamental things. Mm. And council's role is hugely as important. And I think the community need to be watching their step every way. They need to be working with their councillors. They need to be engaged if they want to protect it.
You're also involved with the Duns Creek Landcare Group. What's the main, key issues that you're thinking about and working on in that group?
Well, Landcare is all about protecting the environment and what we're in. Although we own property, to me it's we're custodians only for a short time, and I think it's important that we invest in land for a future and future generations. You know, there was an era where we cleared all the indigenous vegetation and planted European and exotic species, and I do like them in the right place. Mm. And I think it's really important that we try and regenerate the land to what it was like. And that creates, you know, such great ecosystems. You know, we've been doing a lot of revegetation around the Duns Creek area, and my goodness, you've never seen so many black wallabies or swamp wallabies. And it's beautiful to see all of that, and the ferns are coming back, and it's just beautiful to see the regeneration, which happens so naturally when you take out... introduce species like pine trees. It's wonderful.
Let's have a listen to another of your musical selections for us on this Friday, Kerry Watson, our guest on the Wordy Rapping Hood here on RPPFM. And it's beautiful Eva Cassidy doing another version of someone else's song, the old Fleetwood Mac song, but her version of Songbird. Why is this a favourite?
It resonates with my husband and I in our first meeting. But once again, I think it's just beautiful. It's simple.
And we're very grateful. It's just after 20 minutes to 1 o'clock here on RPPFM on this Friday. The Wordy Rapping Hood is the show. Kerry Watson is our guest on this Friday. She's the festival director of the Hinterland Scarecrow Festival, which happens from September 16 to October the 3rd. And Kerry's still with us rolling through her life and times that's taken her all over the world and ultimately had her settle here on Red Hill. I'm going to take you back to that question that we started the conversation with, Kerry, and your husband said to you, if you could live anywhere, you'd live in Red Hill. You're not from Victoria, you're from Mount Gambier. What was it about Red Hill? There must have been a visit as a younger woman, or what was it about Red Hill that you thought, that's where I'm going?
Look, I originally came here, I think, in my late 20s to the Red Hill Craft Market, and that introduced me to the area, and I was just gobsmacked because everywhere I looked there was this most beautiful green rolling hills and trees and spectacular views, and it resonated. I can't explain any more than that it just was beautiful.
Hmm. And life now for you is one foot still very much in the corporate world, working for state government as a communications advisor, strategist, speechwriter, doing some events, sort of big scale things, big heady world of state government. Other foot in Red Hill, being very involved in community work. How, and that's a very common, perhaps not everyone working for the Victorian government, but everyone trying to sort of work out how you can get that balance right about getting a life and a sustainable lifestyle here on the peninsula. Where do you see that balance actually ultimately tipping? Because I know you've sort of decided that the chicken farm is going to turn into an Airbnb, so that's the next project for sort of Team Watson and husband. Husband's called...
David Mumby.
David. Team David and Kerry here and your children. When do you imagine that you might be able to sort of slide that balance so that you can stop that daily commute?
I don't know. I don't know that I want to stop it, and I oscillate about what I want to do. I mean, inevitably, we want to sustain our lifestyle down here, and if I could get a great job down here, I would probably. Mm. But that's not the reality. So the daily commute isn't the daily commute. I make a conscious decision. I travel up on the train and I stay overnight in Melbourne on Monday, and I work Monday, Tuesday, And then I'm lucky enough to work from home on a Wednesday. So I think, look, I've just been lucky. I've got a great gig that sustains my lifestyle. Mm. And, you know, we're setting up another business, and my husband's building a bed and breakfast that will open hopefully in the new year, which will be called Haven Red Hill.
Mm.
And I think that'll keep us, well, him certainly busy, and maybe a bit of me. I don't know that I will stop my corporate work. I like working. Mm. I like being involved, and you call it the heady world. I love the interaction, the exposure to all sorts of things that the business world gives me.
Mm. So in a couple of weeks' time, the Scarecrows will be unveiled around the hinterland of the peninsula for the Scarecrow Festival. There's Festival Day on the 1st of October. So give us a nutshell of how all that's going to work and what we need to look out for.
All right. Well, for the Scarecrow Touring Trail, hop on the website at scarecrowfestival.org.au and you can get a map, you can download that, you can use your phone, or you can pick up a map from one of the tourist information, travel around and see almost 40 scarecrows around the peninsula, enjoy them. You can vote online for your favourite, so you can snap a selfie. There's quite a few competitions and some great prizes to be won. Scarecrow Festival Day, which is Saturday the 1st of October, coincides with the Red Hill Craft Market. It is also Grand Final Day, and it's really a day of free activities for children and art activities, a live scarecrow competition, just a bit of fun. It's a new thing for the festival, and it was about getting some sponsorship dollars in, and this helped us because of the foot traffic associated with the Red Hill Craft Market. Mm. So that's the new concept.
They certainly have a lot of good sponsors on board for the festival this year. You have been privy to knowing about some of the scarecrow shapes and sizes and creations that are coming. What's the one you're most looking forward to seeing, if you can be that partial?
There's a couple of schools that have done some amazing scarecrows, and I only know that not that I've seen them, but I've heard them described to me. Mm. A big take on a Vegemite jar coming up.
Wow.
And a piece of toast. So that's an interesting
one. That might attract. That's not very scary at all.
No, it's not scary at all. but when we talk about art installations, that's effectively what we're seeing a lot more of.
Mm.
It's scarecrows, it's art installations, it's a bit of fun, things out on the nature strip so everybody can enjoy and have a bit of a laugh and admire the creative talents.
Fabulous. Kerry, so great to meet you. We're going to go out with another of your selections, and it's the beautiful Clair de Lune by Debussy. I'm sort of imagining that this has also got something to do with your recent wedding, so no, just a beautiful, timeless piece of music. Well done to you for driving the Scarecrow Festival. So great to meet you, and I look forward to seeing those beautiful creations unveiled as public art through the hinterland over that couple of weeks of the September school holidays. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Tracy.
The most exquisite piece of music. And our final selection from our guest on the Wordy Rapping Hood on this Friday, Kerry Watson, who's... when you see all those incredible kind of scarecrows go up over the next couple of weeks, the September school holidays, Kerry is heading up the team that's responsible for that. We're about 8 minutes away from 1 o'clock here on Audible PFM. A special treat coming up on this Friday. We were talking about the Red Hill Craft Market, which gets underway for the spring and summer season from tomorrow. And the first Friday in the month also signals something else that many of us look forward to very much on the peninsula. It's the first Friday in the month is Moth Music on the Hill, and we're going to talk to someone who's performing tonight on the hill supporting the great Archie Roach. And Gary Crittenden will be a guest on the Wordy Rapping Hood over the next few weeks. So, look, we've just got time right at the end of the program to squeeze in a very special guest who will be performing tonight at Moth Music on the Hill. It's a sold-out show, so for those that weren't able to get tickets to Archie Roach, we're giving you a little bit of a treat of the woman who'll be supporting Archie tonight in the beautiful Footy Pavilion Hall there in the middle of the footy ground and the market ground. Anna Cordell grew up in Mount Eliza, is Padua alumni. She's supporting Archie tonight. She's got a new EP out as well, and is here with us on Art Will P with Ella on your lap. Etta. I knew it was a big jazz singer. It was either Etta James or Ella Fitzgerald.
Oh, yes.
So come in close to the microphone there, and so we can actually hear both of you there. So welcome into Art Will P, and great to see you.
Thank you.
It's probably that mic, sorry. So your life, you grew up down here on the peninsula, and you've now making your own way as a singer-songwriter. But this was the place that really made you want to be a singer-songwriter.
Yeah, well, I was sort of heavily involved in music. I guess, you know, sort of towards the end of high school, I really kind of found that was my thing. Mm. And I remember actually I did my first gig down at Fishies, you know, it used to be like this little cafe on Fishies Beach where they had live music. And then once, you know, when I was at uni, I was doing it on the side. I was studying an arts degree, and then I started actually studying music, but I got myself pregnant.
The wriggler.
Got one of them here. I had four kids instead. So,
oh my goodness.
That kind of put a bit of a hold on the music for a while.
Well, let's get back to the music, because we are sort of rolling up to the news at 1 o'clock. So I'm going to get you to replace Etta with a guitar. And I know you're going to play a song for us, and it's off the new EP. And Mum's got to sing a song, and there's the guitar coming nice and sort of deftly onto the lap there. Anna Cordell is with us here on Audible PFM. You said the song was about 4 minutes long, Anna, and we've got about 4 minutes till the news. So I'm going to let you take it away and perform this song called Beautifully Timed Up to the News. Anna Cordell performing tonight at Moth, supporting Archie Roach. No pressure, just an Australian legend. Thank you for singing for us on this Friday. These Walls, the name of the tune from Anna's debut EP, and that was the guitar going over, so she's got time to fix it for tonight. Thanks for your company on this Friday. It's news time now. It's 1 o'clock.